So let me tell you what's right about what's working on the enforcement end. One is that I have internal affairs in my own department, which didn't exist when I took over. That internal affairs unit, the PCU, is working with the FBI, the DEA, the U.S. Attorney's Office, the troopers, the state DA's office, and we're making cases and also sharing intelligence in ways that we've never had before. So that, on the enforcement side of things, that's the good news. This doesn't sound all that jazzy on one hand, but the reality is you have to share intelligence, and so we're doing a better job of sharing information and also targeting people that we believe we have better targets now in terms of who we think is trafficking, and that's the reason why we're making some cases now.
So that's the enforcement side. What's happening in the prevention side? I mean, women have recently overdosed in Highland. What's preventing that from happening?
Well, even with the opioid issue in our state, enforcement is not going prosecute. We can't prosecute our way out of this. We can't enforce our way out of this, and I can't do that behind the prison walls either. What I can do on the intervention or prevention side, though, is make prisons better places for people to be while we have their freedom. So projects like just happened, like the Lullaby Project, and the education things we're doing, and treatment behind the walls, and really just creating purpose, what I call purpose and jobs, you know, having someone something to do. All those things are huge preventative pieces. So when you have people occupied, there's less trouble. I just, as you know, a lot of people know, I just came back from Norway. And when I talk about drug trafficking in prison in Norway, they kind of look at me a little sideways, like, well, yeah, that happened like one time a couple years ago or something. And are they different than us? They're not. But they have much less problem than we do. And the reason why is because that everyone behind the walls there has a purpose and a job. They either go to school or they go to work. There's some type of training. The worst thing in terms of running a prison system, whether or not it's drugs or anything else, is idle time on people's hands. And that's what I'm out to change.
So, but not everybody is participating in programs. I received a letter just the other day from an inmate at Spring Creek who's like, well, I'd love to do programs, but I'm not getting released and I'm old, so they won't let me. So are you doing something to change that?
Part of the other model that I've learned from other states and other countries is sort of bringing people from the outside inside the facilities and having more productive activities. And those are the small changes that lead to big, sort of bigger results. And so, yeah, there are some people behind the walls who don't have as much opportunity because, quite frankly, they may be there their entire life, especially at Spring Creek. But that does not change the fact that I need productive activities. It's also the reason why I want prison industries back. I need to have productive and time among people doing behind the walls. That makes it safer not only for them, but especially safer for my staff.
So how far are you in the process of getting prison industries back?
So there's legislation in that the governor fully supports. I want to assure people, and especially the public, that this is not an attempt to compete with private businesses. Other states do this very well and provides meaningful activities and actually makes money for the correctional system.
You seem to be saying that it's, instead of looking at treatment programs and focusing on addiction, you're focusing on keeping people busy and giving them a sense of self-worth.
I'm focusing on both. I believe in treatment programs behind the walls. I think it's very important. But the reality is that even though I think those activities are important, our recidivism rate hasn't changed in 20 years. Even though the programs have been going on. And just say, well, just why not eliminate the programs? I tell you exactly why, because you still need, there's some that still are saved by that activity. So I don't want to make anything worse by removing them entirely. But having very productive time, lots of activities, many paths forward, both treatment, jobs, vocational training, I want it all because what I see elsewhere is that how you bring down the reoffense rate. That also, by the way, helps reduce subcultures and gangs and drug trafficking. And so we're not going to be able to prevent drug trafficking by searching people. That's sort of the great misunderstanding, too. Most of these drugs are being packed inside people's bodies, and you cannot search everybody's bodies internally who are coming into prison. You can't. There's civil rights issues, and just operationally, how the heck would you do it? It's impossible. So the one way, and when we find out people who do, by the way, we are going to go after them very thoroughly. But you have to prevent other opportunities for people to say, you know, I got a lot of things to lose. I'm just not going to be partaking in drugs inside prisons. Nothing good's going to come of it.